Turn your Bibles with me, if you would, to the book of Psalms, Psalm 22. Psalm 22. And we'll read the psalm. There's 31 verses. We'll read the entire psalm. Psalm 32, or 22. Did I say 32? 22. 31 verses, but there's Psalm 22. All right. Psalm 22. Now, parts of these, or part of this psalm is very familiar to us, for it is a quotation. Part of it is a quotation from Christ, or Christ quotes this. And then also it has to do with Christ's crucifixion, and we see some of the things that were said when he was on the cross that is given in this passage of Scripture. So our mind, when we read this, it goes to Christ and his sufferings as he was crucified. So we'll begin with verse 1. It says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee, and were not confounded. But I am a worm, and no man, a reproach of men, and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have encompassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. But be not thou far from me, O Lord. O my strength, haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him, and all ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him, and fear him, all ye seed, the seed of Israel. For he hath not despised, nor poured the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. All they that be fat upon earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him. And none can keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. Well, it's a wonderful psalm. Let's pray together. Our Father, guide us now in this psalm. Help us to understand and apply it properly. Help us in our own personal lives, dear God, the particular place where we are in life. I pray you'll use these verses for us. In Jesus' name, amen. There are sufferings for the righteous. And the Lord Jesus is that perfect righteous man. And He was the perfect sufferer, if we could put it that way. He suffered perfectly for righteousness. Everything that he did was right, and yet all of the sufferings that he did was full. His life was filled with suffering. And it would seem that the best of all men and the most righteous, or the perfect righteous one, should suffer the least. That's the way maybe our logic would think. If he was of good in every way, why should he suffer any? And yet he suffered the most of any man, and it is the sufferings that he had for righteousness. He suffered for righteousness. And I understand that he suffered that we might be saved, and his blood was spilt, that it might be the payment for our sin, the sacrifice, the substitution of Christ for the sinner, the righteous one for the sinner, that God might be just and able to justify us, that our sins would be paid for, atoned for entirely and completely, and that Christ could do that only if he was righteous in every way and suffered in our place, and he did so, and we understand that. But there's also the understanding of Christ's sufferings for us in the sense that he was willing to give himself, and he went through these things because of his love for us. His willingness to do for us what we could not do in saving us, and in that, willingness to suffer for us. This is the sufferings of the righteous and the sufferings for righteousness that he had. And I hope we'll look at that in a great way. There's great expression in this passage of Scripture of the pain and trouble of Christ. And we would recognize that the focus here is mainly on the cross and of his sufferings there. And there are expressions. It's not dignified expressions, I might say. And we need to be careful about thinking in this way. What I mean is this. I fear that we think that Christ's sufferings was somewhat limited because he was God. Somehow, miraculously, he could endure it. And we wouldn't have been able to, but he had more than us, you see. And therefore, there was a miraculousness in him that took away some of the suffering, or it wasn't as great. But I say to you, that is not the case. There's nothing limited of his sufferings here, even though he is who he is, and even though there is a complete righteousness in him, yet he is suffering. And we need to recognize that. When he prayed on the night before, he said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. This was not something that he could go through and have it in an easy way. And in fact, when he cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? We see a great abandonment in a way here of his Father. There is this sin that's placed upon him and a turning away from him by his Father. Great suffering. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now that would be in maybe some a spirit that would be of anger or bitterness against the conditions that he was going through. We don't think of it, and should not think of it in that way at all. But nonetheless, it is the expression of what he's really going through. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, that expression is deep, and it is painful, and it is real. It is genuine. He is really in that kind of condition that his words say. He's not putting on an act for us. He's not trying to make us think he's suffering more than he is. This is real. And my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And this is a suffering of death. He's going through death. And I do not know of anything more terrifying nor difficult for the human and where our mind cannot even grasp it. It can't get around it. And I do not think that we think much on it, for we don't want to think on it. It's too painful for us to think on it. And yet all of us know that down the road it's facing us. And we do not want to have that thought in our mind. We do not want to harbor it or to dwell upon those thoughts of death. But Jesus is facing it, and he's going through it, and you and I are going to go through it. We're going to have that death also, and this crying out is a real cry of sorrow and suffering, trouble. And it's a time of death that he's going through. Now, why art thou so far from the helping me and from the words of my roaring? Why, he's talking about his words as he's crying out, a roaring from his heart and from God not helping him. And there is this pain and suffering. He feels abandoned. These human ways and thoughts are in him of this great suffering that he's going through. Oh my God, he said, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not in the night season, and I'm not silent. I cry night and day, but you don't listen. You don't hear. You're not listening. That's a heart that is real and genuine. I think we put on too much pretense. And it's real. Things are real, and we need to express them. What is real? And we need to be real ourselves. Jesus is being real in these expressions. He's going through death. But he also says, but thou art holy. This is not an accusation against God of doing something wrong. He says, but thou art holy. And thou inhabitest the praises, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. You're right. In all that I'm going through, you're holy. There's nothing wrong in what you're doing. But my heart cries out in this desperate sorrow and pain and condition of death. And he does cry out. He's real, isn't he? I'm so glad of that. For I'm going to go through a death. I need to have a reality of it. I don't need a pretense. I think many of us pretend about dying. Oh, we know where we're going. We're going to heaven. Well, you may know you're going to heaven and be saved. But that doesn't mean that you're not going to go through this hot sorrow, this great trouble. Don't think that it'll be easy. I don't want to frighten us. And we have a lot of people like me old in this room. And we're closer to that day of death than we were to our day of birth. But we need to recognize it. And what God puts us through and what he will put us through. Oh, thou, you're holy in that. And you inhabit the praises of Israel. I'll praise you even in this, even though it is not something that is easy at all. I think sometimes our theology gets, we get all wrapped up in our thinking that we know all the answers, that we really are going to fool ourselves. I think that sometimes even good, godly people are surprised at the terrors that come at this moment of death. I know that it's easy to talk, but it's hard for the reality to come. And I fear that sometimes we have made it almost where a godly person, when he enters into death, would think that it would be wrong and terrible to say, my God, why do I feel like you've forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me? Well, Jesus cried that way, didn't he? And I have to tell you that that's the way we're going to cry, I think, more than we think. You that are young, you think, oh yeah, we get this done. That'll be easy. But you that are way into your age, no, you're starting to know better, aren't you? Are you with me tonight? But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. And then there's a remembering, and it's wonderful. And I want to look at this in both eyes. I want us to. I thought to myself that I was going to preach this sermon, and I'd go through it about Christ, and then I'll come back and go through it about the troubles of your righteous life. Some of you are young. You're living a righteous life, and there's trouble there, isn't there? There's sorrows. And sometimes you're alone. You feel like, well, I'm doing the right thing and everybody's against me. And why do not people understand? And why don't they understand the things that I'm going through? What is it about people that they don't care about me or whatever? And we have that righteous people go through this loneliness at times of being alone in their stand for God. And I understand that. I thought I'd go through it one at a time, but I'm finding myself going through it all together. And I think that's all right. Let's just do it that way tonight. Thank you, Lord. It's complicated. Trying to maybe do it three times. So I'll only read through the passage once, all right? Now then, you that are younger and living a righteous life, there's times when people don't understand you and they don't like you and they don't think highly of you and they look at you as you're a young whippersnapper. You don't know anything. And here you are trying to tell me what to do. Well, there's a righteous life that suffers, you see. O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel, you're holy. And then we can look back. And I am so glad I can look back as you can. Our fathers trusted in thee. And they were delivered. Thou didst deliver them. They went through it, didn't they? They went through the loneliness. They went through the battles. I remember Dad telling the story that he put a gun up here on the pulpit. Yeah. There was shenanigans being pulled. There was a house of ill repute there in Oklahoma back in the wild days of Oklahoma. And it was a wild place. And Dad talked to the sheriff about it. And the sheriff deputized Dad. And down they went to that house of ill repute together. And the sheriff walked in. He wanted to examine the place. And then he arrested people. And Dad was the one there helping him arrest people. Well, then after that, some young guys got all upset and they went around the church shooting their guns, riding their horses. Now you think that's that Dad was old when I was born. So he was born in 1902, and Oklahoma was a rough place, way up into through the 20s. And so Dad was deputized. He took a gun, put it on the pulpit, and these guys went around shooting their guns up in the air. And Dad went out and got the drop on them and took them to jail, or was heading them for jail. And as they walked down the road, Dad said to them, or they said to Dad, "Let us go. We're sorry." And Dad said, "Well, if you promise you'll stop all of this and not do anything else anymore against the things of God like this you did tonight, I'll let you go." And he let them go. And they never bothered him again. Well, now, why did I get off on that silly story? I just say to you that there's a lot of trouble when you're standing for God. Dad was a young man. I'm glad that I can look back and say, our fathers trusted in thee, and thou didst deliver them. Were you there when your dad died? I was with him for 3 days, and my brothers came, and I went home for a few minutes, and he died. But I was with him in his death. Our fathers trusted in thee, and thou didst deliver them. It's a wonderful truth, isn't it? It's a wonderful comfort and encouragement. And by the way, Jesus is a man, isn't he? And he has a humanity. And no, I know he's not in this first Adam, but nonetheless, he has a humanity. And all of these, where do you think he got his knowledge of the things of God? Did you know he had to learn to read? He was a reader one day. He had to learn his ABCs or whatever it was in Greek. And he had to learn it, and he had to learn to read, and he had to learn the things of God. And I have to say to you, I think he learned them very wonderfully and greatly, and there was no hindrance in it. But he learned them. And here's all these wonderful stories. Did he not talk about them? Did he not talk about those that had gone and the stories of these great prophets and works of God in the past? Yes, he did. Our fathers trusted in thee. Here it is. Here's these complaints. Here's I shouldn't maybe say complaint, but expressions of pain and trouble. But then there's great expressions of confidence in God and in his ability and the future work of God, the holding on of God to us and the strength of God. That's what we have here. The sufferings of the righteous. Christ is certainly that sufferer, and so are we in Christ. We also suffer in the same way. The more that we live for him, the more that we suffer of this world, in this world. And there is sufferings. And there will be sufferings even in the point when we entered into that time as Jesus entered into that time of death. But I am a worm. Now he comes back. And, our fathers trusted in thee, and we were delivered. Yes. But I am a worm. Do you ever feel that way? Oh, God took care of my father, but I'm a worm. Who am I? What am I going to do? How am I going to get through this? And I am a worm and no man. Well, I say to you, we are a reproach, aren't we, to men? and were despised of the people. Now, if you don't believe that Christians are despised, then let's just go out and everybody you talk to them about Christ. Every chance you get, everywhere you go, talk to people about the Lord. Be a fool. You'll have people talking about you. And they'll say, you know that guy? Every time he comes around, he wants to talk about God. That guy's, he's a fanatic. He's off. And they won't just necessarily talk about you, but they'll shun you. I don't like to be shunned. I don't like the pain of that. And if our nation would continue down its lawless course as far as God's law is concerned, they're one day going to do more than just shun you. They may put you away so that they don't have to listen to you. Now, it's interesting, isn't it, that there are places in this world that people really do get into trouble, serious trouble, for talking about God. I'm a worm. I'm no man. How do they feel? Do they feel like supermen? Do they feel like, oh, hey, God's with me, God's for me, I'm going to preach from the street corner and there's people, if they throw me in jail, I'm going to show them how strong I am? I don't think so. I think you feel like a worm and no man, a reproach of men, despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head. He trusted on the Lord, they say. Well, now you're in trouble, and things happen to you. It's hard on you. And by the way, when you get old, they start thinking you're a little senile. Well, you know, he's just that old man. And, you know, when you get old, you get all this thinking about God, and, you're not really all there. You get a little bit teary-eyed, and you can't hold your emotions in. You're just an old man. Well, that's the way people are. That's how they look at you. And he trusted in the Lord that he would deliver him. Then on your deathbed, that is a shaking time. It's a weak time. What's going to happen? You may have some family members that are lost. And what are they going to think when you're dying? Well, he trusted in the Lord, and some of them might think, yeah, but look what's happening to him now. Look how weak he is. I do not know exactly what people will all think, but I know this, that the world will think, yes, it's time that you went on and got on your way, and we're glad that you're gone. Quit bothering us about Christ and quit bothering us about salvation. And you trusted in the Lord, now then let the Lord deliver you. I think if we don't think those things are real, it's probably because we're not really living the righteous life. Their suffering's for righteousness. I remember years ago, and my cousin, he's a little bit younger than me, and I got bothered. I never talked to him about the Lord, and I wouldn't talk to him. Well, you got to know my cousin. He's the kind guy. He's a mild-mannered fellow. And I got to talking. I went out to where his farm was. He was still in college. It was his dad's farm. And I was driving down the road, and nobody was home. When I got out way down that dirt road, nobody was home. Only one road led to their house, and the only people that rode went down that road was there. Of them or somebody that was going to see them. And on the way out, well, there was a car coming toward me, and I knew it must be one of them. And so I stopped the car, and he got out, and we stood on that dirt road, and I asked him about his salvation. Oh, did he ever come down on me? And he was so angry. I never talked to him before. And those words came out that I never thought I'd hear from him. But you see, if we're living righteously, there's going to be some. So I don't mean try to bring it on to us. But did you hear what they said about Christ? Did you hear this? Why, here he is in all of his blessings of raising the dead and healing the blind and the lame and the deaf and taking care of the needs of people, and how wonderfully it was, and how many things he did for so many people. Now then, what do they say? Why, He trusted in the Lord, let him deliver him. There's an animosity for the righteous. And if we did not experience it, it's probably because we're not living righteously. Oh, but there's then this comfort again, this great confidence that comes back. It's back and forth, isn't it? And that's the way it is going to be. I'm going to be very blunt with you. That's probably the way it'll be on your deathbed. Oh, what's it like to die? But thou art he that put me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. You see the confidence. There goes back and forth. This great suffering, this great trouble, this great sorrow. They're hard and deep it is. And yet then the Lord, the truths of God are there. And the strength of the Lord is there. No, don't get me wrong. In fact, I think sometimes the deeper the trouble, the more light there is, that brightness of those wonderful truths. If I'm down in the very depths, that's when I can see the glory of those truths the most. Maybe not to comfort me as much as I would want comforting, because that death, that darkness of death still is facing me. Yet there is that confidence and that strength. Somehow it comes in. Somehow the truths of God come back. Be not, though, he says, be not far from me. That's the cry of the man in distress. This is the righteous man that is suffering. The sufferings of the righteous. Be not far from me, for trouble is near. For there is none to help. And there is none to help. If your spouse is alive when you're dying, there's none to help. We want to give words of encouragement. We try. I used to think, oh, what am I going to say? What should I say? I say to you, there's no words that will comfort and bring that encouragement that's needed. Be not thou far from me, for trouble is near. There's none to help. Haven't you already felt that, old one? I can say that because I'm older than I used to be at least. Are there people that really understand your old age? What you're going through? Well, there are maybe somebody that's old as you, know those same kind of pain, but there's fewer and fewer of them, aren't there? We sit maybe in our bed and think about what it is, our aloneness. There's none to help. But that's all right. You see, this is not just sufferings, but this is sufferings for the righteous. And there's a purpose in it, dear one. There's a great and wonderful purpose in it. I don't know if you understand this or not, but this suffering of Christ is a tremendous help to me. Is it not? My dad used to say, I wished I could just go on home to heaven. Why is the Lord leaving me here? I can't preach anymore. I can't do the things I used to do. Why is God leaving me here? And I'd say to him, Dad, you're helping me. You're helping me. I don't think he probably thought I was truthful. He probably thought I was just saying that. But you see the sufferings of Christ, the sufferings of the righteous. And he didn't know it, but he could still, when he didn't recognize me, didn't know who I was, yet he could quote Scripture. What an encouragement that is to me. And I need that. But there's none. I can't help him. My hands are tied. I say, Dad, I need you. It didn't help him. Oh, you're just saying that. Well, it wasn't that I was just saying it. But nonetheless, there's none to help. We get more and more alone. Oh, this is a terrible sermon, isn't it? It's a painful thing for us. But we need it. It's not bad for us to look at it. You that are suffering and you're a Christian and your suffering doesn't make sense and you don't know why you're going through it, what it is, and there's none to help, and trouble is near, well, aren't you growing closer to God? Aren't you? And if you are, and you are, if you're going closer to God, may I tell you that it's seen. It may not be seen every day by people. They don't maybe notice you. But I say to you that they notice. And it may be after that you're dead that people will say, I remember how they were, how they grew close to God, how they were so steady, how they were faithful, how they loved the Lord. And I, you know, the older I get, the more I know what Dad went through and the more I know what God did for him. Trouble is near. There's none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan. I tell you, that illness, isn't that a strong bull? Well, we don't like the flu, but how about that strong bull of cancer? How about that strong and horrible bull of mind degeneration? And there's many, aren't there? And they compass me round. Now I know Jesus is talking here. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water. There, you see. All my bones, I've lost all my strength. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. And my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. You that are nurses that deal with people when they're dying, you know that this is the way. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. Now I want you to notice, he doesn't say things are out of control. God has brought him to this. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. Sufferings for righteousness. Now, you see what we sometimes think. We're going to escape this trouble because we've been living for God. Come on. There's sufferings for those that are righteous. And it's for good. And although it's oftentimes hard to see that it's for our good, yet I can see in the sufferings of others the good that it's done for me. And in that, I might be able to relate when the sufferings come more deeply and more fully upon me. Somehow God will use it for the good of others. And did he not? For all of us, the suffering of Christ. Don't we know from his sufferings? Oh, listen, spill his blood and pay for our sins. But it wasn't just spilling his blood. It was all of the suffering. And that he was willing to go through it. And that is the proof of his love for us. Dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierce my hands and my feet. You know, sometimes we have children that they don't really care a lot for us. It may be they want to get their inheritance. That's a sad thing. Sometimes people have children, never call them, never talk to them. Once in a great while, maybe they call them and talk to them and say, how you doing? But then it's short conversation. Loneliness. But maybe they need something and they call you then. They pierced my hands and my feet. I tell you, many a heart's been pierced. This is suffering. Now, they did pierce Christ, didn't they? Thieves, wands, dogs, and assembly of the wicked. Yes, they pierced him. I may tell all my bones, and Christ, oh, look at his whipped back, and there is that laying open of his flesh. But you know, when you're old too, you can tell all your bones, can't you? Boy, isn't this a kind of a gruesome sermon? We get sick, frail. They tell all my bones. They part my garments among them. Oh, the inheritance is divided up. And cast lots upon my vesture. I know that's talking of Christ. And I want to apply it to him. And I think that's the way it should be. But I think we need to understand also that there's the suffering that's coming. I want to say to you that you're blessed if you have a child that loves you deeply. But I have to say to you, your children that love you deeply, I want to tell you, they love their children more. That's the truth. And you love them more, don't you? Your children. Now, they may love you deeply, but it's not as deep. As we get old, we suffer. We suffer from things that our children don't know anything about. And that's okay, isn't it? It is okay. In fact, you want it that way. I don't want any of my children following me around. I want them to take care of things in life. I don't mean to say I don't want them to neglect me. I don't want that. But at the same time, I don't want them to spend their life for me. I want them to spend their life for their families. And I'm glad they're going to get an inheritance from me. I'm way off. Oh, Lord, my strength, haste thee to help me. Well, that is the help, isn't it? Old people, that is your help. It's not the phone call you're going to get from one of your kids. It's the Lord that's your help. Hallelujah. And what an encouragement it is. If we can look at this and get ready for it, be prepared and wonderfully prepared. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling, from the power of the dog. I tell you, the death is a great enemy. And the devil is a great enemy. But there is a great deliverer, isn't there? Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me. From the horns of the unicorns. Now, if anybody wants to explain that, horns of the unicorns, to me, what do you do that after service, all right? I will declare thy name unto my brethren. Now, get this. Old people, get this. You that are suffering for Christ in some way, you that are staying true to the Lord, you see, you don't tell your children your problems. You suffer with the Lord. Let it be. But declare the Lord's name unto your brethren. Tell how good he is to you. Speak of his kindness in your life. All the things that he's done for you. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Old age, this is the time to praise God. It's all the time we can praise God. But in your suffering, this is the time to be grateful. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. Ye that fear the Lord. This is what I'm going to tell them. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him. And fear him, all ye the seed of Israel. Now, I'm not going to ask the lost people to glorify him. But if your children are saved, you can be together with them. You're not going to share all your problems. You're not going to give them all your pain. But you're going to say, glorify God. Praise him. And you're going to declare his name to them. You don't want them to hear all of your complaints. What you want them to hear is how good God has been to you. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. Well, not everybody that hears you is going to worship God or to praise him, but the meek will. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. And this is what's going to happen to those meek. You can tell them, your heart shall live forever. I'll see you one day. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn unto the Lord. And all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. This is not a bleak time. If we're passed off the stage of life, no, it's not the end. I mean, it's, for us as Christians, certainly it's this wonderful beginning in heaven. But it doesn't mean that all the things that you had to do and all the things you could do when you were alive now, that they won't be done. God's still in control. God is still working. God is still moving. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn unto the Lord. And all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. Now come back to Christ. Because of his suffering, because there is a cross, all the ends of the earth shall worship. All the ends of the Lord shall remember and turn unto the Lord. And all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. Why, how this goes on and on out. I told my son that's lost. I said, if you're not sure of these things, how did you get here? My father had appendicitis when he was in his 30s. And the appendix burst. Now, nurses, back in the 30s, what happened to people whose appendix burst? They died. I mean, it was a death penalty. There wasn't any way that they would live. And the doctor didn't want to operate on him. But the mom and dad of my father said, we must operate. Well, the doctor knew it already burst. He didn't want to operate, and he wasn't going to, but they kept insisting. And he washed him out. He operated, but he sewed him back up. It's no use, no word. Well, I wasn't born until 1948. And if I hadn't been born, my son hadn't been born. There's hope in God, isn't there? All the ends of the earth, all they will hear, and the work goes on. All they that be fat upon earth, that's talking of those that are spiritually blessed by God. All those that be fat upon earth shall eat and worship. What a wonderful thing. You know what's the one, here's the thing. We are going to pass on, but God's work does not pass on. And in fact, it just keeps right on going. Hallelujah. And they will bow. And those that don't, all they that go down to the dust, they shall bow before him. Every tongue shall confess, won't it? Isn't that true? Even those that have refused him. One day, they'll have to bow before him. And none can keep his own soul alive. But a seed, you see, a seed shall serve him. It shall be appointed, counted to the Lord for a generation. By the way, let's get this in our mind. Christ came here on earth for some 33 years, and then he was crucified. And he ascended up to heaven. What happened to his work after he ascended into heaven? Why, it exploded, didn't it? And there was this seed. And a seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. And they shall come. It's not over. Death doesn't end this wonderful work of God. And by the way, the work of Christ goes on, doesn't it? And your work, somebody told my father of Christ. And somebody told the one that told him. And it goes back and back and back. And it never quits. And how far down does it go? It goes until the Lord returns, doesn't it? And all of this time is ended. A seed shall serve him. Well, kind of looking at things as a whole, and we see it. There's all this suffering. The suffering of Christ, what a wonderful thing. Easy, not on your life. How about our suffering? Well, God will comfort us, I'm sure. Christ is comforted on the cross. There's some encouragement there, I'm sure, that there is this strength of his realization of what is going to be and what he's looking ahead to. And there's that joy that's set before him. And I know he has that in his mind. And we also, in all of the things that we must go through, yet we have this confidence down deep into the trouble of darkness, even of death, and troubles and sorrows. Yet Christ is with us. God is with us. Even though the pain is great, and we must not think that it won't be, yet it will be that wonderful strength of the Lord. And we will see through our time. And then our time will go on as far as the effect of God's work that's been done through us. It also will go on. And that's a wonderful thing. Well, that's what my heart. I looked at this psalm and I've looked at it now for many months. And I thought, this is a wonderful psalm for old people. And I thought tonight, Let's get the old people involved. But I think it's a wonderful psalm for you young people. Look what you got to look forward to. But it's all for the Lord, isn't it? Aren't you glad you can suffer for the Lord? It's a great blessing. It's a great privilege. And people will remember you. People will remember you in your encouraged heart in times of your troubles. And I tell you, your family won't forget your death. We don't forget Christ's death, do we? And what Christ will bring you through, and what God is there in, working in you, whatever troubles it is, they'll still see the work of Christ. And it'll remind them of the reality of Christ all through their life. Are you glad for Christ's suffering? But I'm just not glad for that. I am also glad for all the saints that I've known that suffered and what it did for them. Great trouble brings great closeness to God. And great closeness to God brings great confidence and peace. And we see it. Now, maybe you're not saved. And I say to you, if you're not saved, you just have a religion. You just come to church. You've got a religious way. You know, you grew up in church, and or you did for many years. You've gone to church, and you just have this, you know, just feel a little better when you finally do your duty and go to church. If that's your thinking, that's not Christianity. Christianity is a real relationship with our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The true Christianity is not a drug to make things easier on you. It is an awakening to truths that help you go through the pain that you go through. And those truths then are seen in your life that others might believe. But if this is not something, you as a Christian, you ought not to look forward to the suffering of death, but you ought to look forward to that strength and that truth of God that will be revealed to the family, to people that you know, and they'll remember your suffering in Christ, and Christ will be real to many of them, otherwise it would not be true. It would not be so in their life. And they shall come and say that the Lord hath done this. Hallelujah. That's the end of that psalm, by the way. Hallelujah. Well, it's wonderful. But if you're not saved, the people that said he trusted in the Lord, that he would deliver him, let him deliver him, saying he trusted in him. If it's just a pretense with you, it's not genuine and real, oh my soul. Especially those that have some kind of knowledge of these things and yet still have not found Christ. I'll show you the despair. A man that walked with Jesus for some time in the ministry and yet did not know Jesus, he went out and hanged himself. He had nothing, did he? And that's what I fear for some, that they really are pretending. And you can pretend so long that you begin to believe it. Proud and arrogant that you won't admit it. And then it comes too late. I say tonight that that's a very dangerous way to live. Settle things with Christ. Come to Christ before this comes to you. Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful psalm. And Lord, thank you for the sufferings that you let your Son have, that we might see what he is. I pray that you'll bless us in our suffering, that we might, Lord, grow closer to you in that suffering, that we might be prepared in that suffering for things ahead, and that we might, Lord, have that calmness and confidence and peace. Lord, as we go through the sufferings, and I know our voice may cry out, my God, why? But Lord, I pray that your voice would speak and there would be those things reminded to us that you have done and that you are. And that in that, that we would be drawn close to you. Bless this church. Generations have come. Generations have gone. I pray that you would use this church in generations ahead. The older people in this church, that they would, Lord, show through that wonderful work, not in word, but in what your Spirit has done and will do in their sufferings, that there would be that wonderful encouragement to many others to continue on. Lord, may one generation follow another. May your work be wonderfully blessed. And may, Lord, we be a strength to one another in all that you've done for us in all of our sufferings. We pray in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. Would you